What is up, guys? Welcome back to the Zach and Pat Show. I'm Zach.
I'm Pat.
This is the show about manhood, fatherhood, entrepreneurship, and the mentality it takes to be successful at those things. And we'll probably sprinkle in some helpful real estate advice, too, because that's what Pat and I do. You know, guys, life can be tough and go through some things and struggle at times, but this is the show to let you know that you're not alone. So if you're someone out there going through any of these things, this is the show for you. All right, guys, let's talk about something we all need. High quality, comfortable, stylish clothing that actually holds up in real life. Whether you're grinding at work, hitting the gym, or just hanging out, the Normal brand has you covered. I've been rocking their gear, and let me tell you, it's not your average clothing line. They've nailed it perfect with the perfect blend of durability, comfort, style. Whether it's a go-to rugged Henley, a hoodie, a button-down that doesn't make you feel like a stiff, the Normal brand is where it's at. The best part is you can support the show while upgrading your wardrobe. Just hit the link in the description below. Check out their collection. Trust me, once you try it, you'll wonder why you didn't do it sooner. The Normal brand. Made for real life, built to last. Now go check them out.
Shout out to our friends over at Captain Beard Co. Guys, if you are looking for beard care products, shampoo, conditioner, body wash, give Captain Beard Co. a try. They have this unbelievable beard butter, balm, oils, and then it smells amazing. Ladies, if you're looking for something for your men as a gift to help with their grooming, check them out. Also, if you guys are looking to just set the mood one night, candles, unbelievably smelling candles. Made with all natural ingredients here locally to St. Louis. Give them a shot. Also, while you're there, use the promo code Zach and Pat for 10% off your purchase.
Hey there, guys. I really appreciate you checking out the Zach and Pat Show. If you can obviously tell, we are a newer podcast, but one way we're really trying to grow the show is trying to get up the amount of subscribers we have. So, you know, if you're watching the show and you're getting something out of it, we'd really appreciate it if you could click that subscribe button. That would help us out a ton. Please click that button. And now back to the show. Well, we are today we're doing one of our duet episodes with just Pat and I.
Yeah, but first and foremost, happy birthday, brother.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. So 32.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Zach says we're going to do a question and answer. He's just going to tell us 32 things he's learned in the last 32 years of life.
Yeah, we thought about that and I was like, yeah. Fuck no, dude.
You guys would be bored. We'd get bored real quick.
Yeah,
with
I was
that
like,
one.
I would run out of
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, we'd run out of shit to say after like
real
five or
quick.
Six, yeah.
I'd like talk about real estate and then my family and jujitsu and I'd be like,
okay, give us a couple. Give us a couple things you've learned in the 32 years of life.
Well, man, I've learned that, man, I just think that this is something we talk about in here all the time, but the consistency, like kind of just no matter what you're doing, whether it's, you know, your work, your family, your fitness, you know, some skill you want to learn, it all comes down to how consistent you are with that thing. Mm-hmm. That's something that, man, I just, we talk about in here all the time and I think about it all the time. That's definitely something that I kind of preach a lot. So I'll start off with that. Quality over quantity, you know, in pretty much anything, kind of going back to that consistency thing, whether it's, you know, working on quality reps versus, you know, just trying to get something done as fast as you can. Patience, being more patient, like with my kids. And I mean, that's something having kids has really taught me, you know, not immediately reacting the way that I like feel inclined to react about things that, you know, if they do something, you know, that's stupid or something that I just automatically want to like, no, you know, but like having, taking a second, okay, it's not the end of the world. He just, you know, dropped a bowl of cereal on the kitchen floor. Like, it's not the end of the world. It's just like a mess I have to clean up.
Right.
You know, like, it's just like, you know, like stuff like that. What else?
Relationship wise, what do you got going for relationships?
Relationships? Well, you know, me and Gina have been together for, you know, she just sent me a thing the other day. It was like, we've been friends for on Facebook for 17 years.
Oh,
which
wow.
Is pretty crazy. Well,
wow.
It's like more than half my life. Yeah. I've been with the same woman for the most part. And, man, there's a lot, I guess I could say about that, but, having patience with her and looking at things from, you know, her point of view instead of just my point of view, having, you know, just kind of be able to keep things fun, always looking for like new things to do, new things to try, new restaurants to go to, new experiences to go to. Like I was just saying, like what we're going to do this afternoon, like she's all scared and nervous about it, but because she's like, We're doing this Sandbox VR thing tonight, but we're going to go out to dinner. And then before that, we're going to go to, it's called Sandbox VR, where they like strap you up with like the goggles, and they got like things that you put on your wrists and your arms, and like a vest, and like you carrying like a gun around, and we're going to go like virtually kill some zombies. so we're going to go like, but it's cool because it looks like they've got like the room set up to like match what the video game is doing. So like you're actually like walking, or you got to walk around things, and you know, so I'm excited about that, but like just doing new fun things. I think that's something that, you know, kind of keeps the relationship alive. You know, being able to talk to her and like really tell her how I'm feeling about things. That's something I feel like I've gotten a lot better at over the last few years. Cause I, you know, like most men do, I have a tendency to bottle things up when I get upset or things that are bothering me. Like I'll just kind of hold it in. And over the last, you know, few years, I've gotten a lot better at, you know, telling her when I'm upset, and, you know, like instead of just avoiding the argument and the fight or the, you know, the discussion, I guess I should say, you know, like, let's just get it out in the open, because we're both going to feel a lot better whenever we both kind of get what we have to say off our chests. Yeah. So I would say those are my things for relationships.
There you go. That's awesome, man.
Yeah. But, yeah, we're going to do a Q&A episode today. We haven't done one of these in a little bit, but, yeah, we got some good questions here. So, you know, I don't know if you want to start us off, Pat.
Sure. Let's do some weird and funny shit first. All right. So if aliens landed tomorrow and asked you to teach them one human skill, what would you pick?
Well, it depends on what kind of aliens.
I was just thinking the same thing before I asked. So like, what are you picturing as an alien?
Well, I mean, if we really want to kind of go down a conspiracy rabbit hole, there's been several different kinds that have been supposedly seen. We got the tall whites, the grays. They have the ones that like look more reptilian. You know, I've gone down some YouTube rabbit holes on this kind of stuff, and it's like, who knows if you know, if these people are actually seeing these things, or if it's like, you know, in their head, or their you know, and it depends. It's like, you know, there's the theory that, you know, some of these aliens are not really traveling through space. They're traveling through different dimensions to get here. You know, it could be us from the future, you know, because a lot of these aliens that we see are, you know, that if you look at like the alien that, you know, the typical alien that you see, the big head, big, you know, eyes, real spindly bodies, no genitals. You know, the thought is that, you know, that's kind of where we evolved to. And when we stopped, you know, it's kind of, if you look at, you know, look where we started, you know, kind of like with the Neanderthals and in like how humans have evolved, you know, we were way more like monkey-like, mm-hmm. and more like, and now we have to use less of our physicality and more of our brain as like time has gone on. So like our brain has grown and our body has like shrunken. So, you know, I mean, if it was like a wimpy looking alien like that, I'd probably teach him jujitsu.
Yeah. I was wondering if you were going to say that.
I was like, you know, I'll teach him a good, you know, you know, a good, takedown and a back take and a rear naked choke. But if it was like an alien that, you know, didn't really need, like looked like it needed to learn how to fight, I would, what would I teach it? Probably teach it like, I mean, what's something that's just so human, that
mine would be dancing.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's good.
Teach them how to dance.
Well, you're a lot better at that than me. So I mean, dancing would be a good one. Cause it's like, you can get into like, oh, what am I going to teach them how to buy a house?
Right.
Like, they don't fucking care about that. You know, it's like, oh, am I going to teach them how to drive a car?
Well, that's like, the thing you got to think. These are your like, they're probably so much smarter than we are, and can probably do way more things than we could do. So I'm trying to think of things that are like just human things that, I mean, I don't know, like how to talk. I mean, you would think they're probably communicating in nonverbal ways.
Yeah. Like telepathically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So like sing, maybe teach them how to sing.
Teach them how to sing. Yeah. Yeah, that'd be a good one.
Yeah.
That's something I'm decent at. I could sing.
Or throw a baseball, maybe.
Oh, yeah. There you go. Yeah. Show them how to pitch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Do that. That'd be fun.
It's a pretty human thing.
Yeah. That's a very human thing.
You know, that's like one of the theories of like how humans evolved is like our ability to throw. Mm-hmm. You know, the ability to like kill an animal from a distance. Like that was, I think they said that like, being able to throw like rocks and spears, like that's kind of how like humans eventually evolved. And then, we constructed other things like the, I think it's called the, it was like one of the very first ways to propel a spear before they did the bow and arrow. I forget what it's called. I think it's called a thalatl or something like that. But, I feel like I'm butchering that, but, it's something weird like that. But yeah, that would be a good one. Teach them how to throw a baseball or just how to throw in general.
Yeah. So, I mean, if it's that alien that, so like my image of an alien in my head, when as soon as it says alien, I'm thinking like the big oval head, real skinny body,
no genitals.
Yeah. Show them like how to squat or push it, do a push up, build that muscle back up. Come on, buddy.
Yeah. Let's get that Fran time.
Yeah.
Thrusters and pull ups. Go, bitch.
Let's see you do a Murph. Let's go.
Yeah. Dude, I did a half one the other day just for. Because we're like,
We're not far from
it. Yeah, we're like a month and a half out from that now. Yeah, so it's like, we should start doing that.
Yeah.
I'm going to start running. That's one was now I've been on this bulking phase since October. And so now beginning of April, I'm going to start kind of slimming back down. I'm up about 20 pounds and I'm going to start kind of shedding some of the fat and, weight I've put on over the last, 5 months. So. Yeah, I'm going to start running and getting ready. This is like perfect time to like doing Murph, because it's like all body weight movements and stuff. Because that's one thing, man. Ever since I put on this weight, like, whoo, pull-ups have gotten a lot more difficult for sure. But I also feel pretty strong. But like running in general has my ability, my speed as far as running goes has significantly gone down. And especially with doing it with the vest on, like, whoo. Yeah, I got to start really working on that, which I'm excited about because I love Murph. That's like my favorite workout of the year.
Yeah, I mean, I'm only going to run what's required of me for CrossFit, so,
yeah.
2 miles. 2 miles.
Miles. It's not that bad. Yeah, it's really not.
No, and it's broken up.
Yes, mile and a mile. Yeah, I did a half Murph the other day, which is like, that's a great way to like kind of like get back, slowly get back into it.
Yeah, I mean, my big struggle is, being rather large is pull-ups. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I'm going to focus on getting those kipping pull-ups down.
Dude, it's such a help.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is. There's no way I could do a Murph all strict pull-ups. There's no way.
Yeah. Unless they're assisted. That's the only way.
Yeah.
Like I did last year, at that point I had only been in CrossFit for about 2.5 months. Yeah. So I did a half Murph and did strict pull-ups.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, this year you're going to do a full one, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Minus the weight vest.
Yeah, minus weight. Yeah,
scaled full Murph.
But hey, you do the scaled Murph this year, and then, maybe by 2026, you're getting yourself a vest, and
I've got a vest. I've got it. I just, I use it for walking.
Yeah.
Yeah, I ran enough when it came to baseball that, like I said, I'll run when Rachel tells me I need to run.
Yeah.
And I'll do what I have to do.
Yeah.
It's all mental. I mean,
it is, it's like, it's not that bad
for 2 miles. It's 100% mental. Any CrossFit workout is mostly mental.
Yes.
Pushing your, being able to just push through it. So
yeah, not throw up.
Yeah. That's I haven't. Yeah. It's been a while since I've worked out hard to the point where I throw up.
Yeah. I mean,
I did it with Bill. Bill made me throw up every fucking time I worked out with him. Every Wednesday that I worked out with Bill was the worst fucking workout. Cause we would do, and it was one thing. It was the sled push because he would have, it would be the low, like, so I'd low, get down real low one way and then high the other way. And I mean, we were doing 40 yard sled pushes down and back. With like, at that time I was insanely strong in my lower half. And I think we would load it up with like 4 or 5 45s on each side, on each tall pole. It was fucking a lot.
That's a lot of weight.
Oh yeah. Every time throw up afterwards, every fucking time.
Damn.
Yeah.
Yeah. We used to, I've done a good amount of sled pushing, but it's not something I do all the time anymore. I was doing a ton of it when I was rehabbing my knee. It's something I like wanted to like, I'm going to keep doing this. And then I fucking didn't.
Yeah. Speaking of Bill and Colin, have you seen them on social media lately?
Yeah. Colin just won a bodybuilding show.
Dude. I mean, he was always
jacked,
fucking yoked. And now I just saw those pictures. I was like, holy shit. Yeah,
he's in incredible shape.
Yeah. Yeah. And they just launched some new product. He, I'll have to look into it, but Actually, I mean, it'd be fun to get him on here.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I never thought about that. Yeah. That'd be great. That'd be fun to get him on for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, considering we both kind of have a...
Did you know he was on a Netflix show?
No.
Yeah, it was one of those Catching a Killer or something like that, or one of those where guys on death row and they're reliving it. And he was part of the one.
He was a police officer. Right?
Yeah. So that he caught a serial killer that was here in St. Louis.
Really?
Or something like that. It wasn't a serial killer. But a guy that murdered a couple people within his family, and Bill caught him. He was one of the officers that caught him. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. It's on like season 6 or 7, but yeah, he's on Netflix.
He's on Netflix. Yeah. That's saying something. That's cool. I'd love to get him in here. That'd be a fun episode.
That would be fun.
Yeah, because we feel like we have a lot we could talk to him about, like all the you know, fitness stuff, being a police officer for him as many years as he was. I mean, he's held world record for what did he hold? Do you remember?
I want to say total weight. So with powerlifting, you've got squat, deadlift, and bench. I mean, shit, I think he was benching 500 pounds at 60 years old.
It's fucking nuts.
It's insane. Raw.
Yeah,
raw.
With no assisted, no suit, nothing.
Yeah, wow. I remember watching those guys train when I was training with them. I'm just like, fuck.
Yeah,
because we're big boys,
gorillas.
Yeah, that was the thing. Is every guy that I trained with was in their mid to late 50s or older. I'm just like, what? Like, it's insane watching those guys, especially like for their age and just how strong they were, deadlifting wise, squat wise, like. Don't get hurt. Like,
yeah, you guys are on the juice.
So no, that was the thing. It was a clean gym. That was like the big thing that they kept harping on, because that was the thing too, is especially with like my training, I wanted to make sure that, you know, I'm working out in a clean environment. So like, if I did get drug tested, like they're, you know, it's not like all because
tied
of the gym.
Back to them
Over, yeah. So, cause I mean, he was posting videos of me working out and some of the shit that I was doing. Sure as shit.
Yeah, you're getting tested.
Drug tests come knock, and I think I got drug tested twice that off season. Yeah. So, but.
Now, anyway. When did they just kind of show up at random times, or did you know they were coming?
So, no. Well, during the season, we would get, we would be on our way. Like, we would know that morning that they were there. During the off season though, you would get a call 24 hours before. And so like you had to it's called drug free sport.
That's what UFC uses now.
And so it's out of Kansas City, and, Ed, who member here, he's part of that. Mm. Actually that's he's in the Baseball Hall of Fame because of the protocols that he came up with during COVID so they could have a season.
Wow.
But anyway, yeah. So, you have to fill out a form, and if you go anywhere away, like if you're going to be away from your residence, like your primary residence for an extended period of time, you have to let them know. So like guys, like if they would go play winter ball in like Venezuela or Dominican or whatever, they would have to fill out a form and let them know how long they were going to be gone for in case they got their name got picked at random. And so there was, I remember hearing a story about a guy who was playing down in Venezuela, forgot to let him know. They called him, and he had to be back in the States at his house within 24 hours, or it's an automatically failed drug test. So, yeah, so he had to fly from Venezuela back to the States, do a piss test, and then flew back to Venezuela to play. But, yeah, so, no, there was times I'd get a call, like, hey, we're going to be at your house tomorrow at this time. You need to be there. And, like, you just go back, like, no. You can't just say no to these guys.
No.
I'm like, no, you're not allowed. Yeah. I'm not allowed to let strangers in my house.
Yeah. No. I don't like you.
Yeah. So they would show up and they'd be there for like 10 minutes.
Yeah. And go pee in this cup. We gotta watch you pee.
Yeah. At my parents' house, they had a little tiny half bath that could fit me at one, like that, just one. There's two of us in there, and like I'm stripped naked, and the guy's like standing over my shoulder watching me pee in a cup. And yeah, it's a very awkward situation. It's weird, but yeah, that's how they did it in pro ball. And then like during the season, you would get tested, and it felt like once a month they had people rolling through, but they drug test more for like street drugs in the minor leagues than they do in the bigs. I think they would do steroid testing like once or twice a year. But like,
but they're looking for like drugs.
Well, the biggest thing that you see most people getting popped for was Adderall, because there's such a lengthy process to get approved for it. And the half-life on it was like, it was like 8 hours. So people would just pop it in the morning and like time it out to where by the end of the game, it's wearing off or it's out of their system. And so, yeah, people would just come in, and it's the guys that would just forget and actually like pop one late in the day for the game that would get caught, and it shows up as meth on a drug test. So you hear all these guys getting popped for meth, and it's really just them getting popped for Adderall.
Wow. Yeah. Cause it's essentially the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
So, but
yeah. Well, I'm going to do our next question here.
Yeah. Deep and thought provoking. If you could instantly master any one skill, what would it be?
Man. So, you know, I kind of think about a couple different things here. It's like, okay, do I want to like learn something that's just like for fun? Or like, do I want to like learn something that's actually going to like kind of improve my life?
Do one of each.
Yeah. So if I'm going to just learn something fun, I love skateboarding. That's something that's always been like something I really like. I'm not very good at it, but I really enjoy doing it. And like, just something I've always like just wished I was good at. And like, and would it help my life in any way, shape or form? Like, other than just like having fun? No. And I'm like, I'm fucking 32. I probably should grow out of the little skill that I liked when I was like an early teenager. But, you know, after kind of getting back on a skateboard in like the last year and a half, just with my son, you know, scootering around and stuff, I've just been having so much fun like skating again.
Yeah.
And just makes me realize how fucking bad I am at it. And like, if you open up my Instagram or my, you know, my algorithm, a lot of it is skateboard. I just love watching it. It's just like, it's such a hard thing to do. Like if you go and watch, I mean, there's a ton of videos out there, and a lot of them, and I think it kind of like, it shows like how difficult it is they'll show like 10 times of this guy trying this trick, or like, you know, trying to like land this thing. And like, it takes him like 10 or 50, you watch him wipe out for like 15 times in a row. And on that 16th one, he hits it, but it's like, he probably did it like 100 times, right? You know, and he only showed you 15, but it's like something you try over and over and over and over. And it's like, so physically, like it can fuck you up so like bad, like yeah. you can hurt so bad when you fall. And, you know, and some of these guys are doing some crazy, like dangerous shit where they're, you know, jumping like fucking 10 stairs and stuff. And it's like, fuck, like I would never have the balls to do that. But like watching these guys do it, it's just like such a cool, I've always been so drawn to it. And I don't know why. It's just something I've always thought is just super fun to watch and like just so fun to do, but I've never been very good at it. So that would be one thing that, like you said, would be just fun. If I could get better at like any skill, and I think this would translate to a lot of things, including podcasting. I think I'd like to be a better, maybe I'm not like awful at it now, but I think it's something I think anybody could use improvement on. It would be like a better storyteller.
Yeah.
Cause I think that's like the best way to kind of convey something is through stories. And like, if I look at some of like my favorite like podcasts and people that I listen to, it's kind of always like a story based thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think I'm that great at doing that. So I think that would be something I would love to be better at.
Yeah. That's cause I was thinking kind of the same way, basically just communication as a whole,
mm-hmm.
As a skill, like not just a fun skill, but like an important skill. Like, I feel like I'm okay at communicating, but I could always be better. Like if I could just master the art of communication in all aspects, like there's so much that you can accomplish through communication that if I could master anything, that would be it.
Yeah.
But then like my fun skill, yeah, like cooking.
Yeah.
Like I grew up, loved cooking, but like if I could master it, but like not just mastering the cooking, but the cleaning that goes with it. Like that's what I fucking hate is the cleaning. Just master the skill of
yeah.
Managing the kitchen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's a skill, bro. Let me tell you, I've seen some pretty high level people do that in my, you know, 10 years in the restaurant industry.
Just their creativeness and like being able to just like look at ingredients and be like, I can make something amazing out of this.
Well, speaking of, I got a guest in mind that is better at that than anybody I've ever met. He's, oh, yeah. I mean, he's, I think I've told you about, he owns, my friend Matt Glickert, he owns Westchester and Chesterfield. We should plan a time to like, you and I go there to eat and then have him on like the next week or something. Yeah, I think that'd be fun.
Yeah, we need to do that with Logan too.
Yeah, Logan would be great. Yeah, Logan's another one. Yeah, he's an extremely talented chef.
Yeah.
Like, that is just such a cool skill. And
I think, like watching this TV show, The Bear. Have you seen that?
Oh, yeah. It's the most real depiction of a restaurant, in my opinion. Oh God. It's like, cause I mean, that's what it is. Yeah. It's like people screaming at each other, constant fucking chaos. You're running around. You're like, don't know what the fuck's going on. You got, you know, you're cooking, you got 10 different things going at once. You're trying to get the thing. Oh, I don't want to get that. Got to get that one off. Yeah. That one's got to get the table 15's been waiting or whatever it is. It's constant chaos. And but The Bear, I feel like it's like the best depiction of working in a restaurant that I've ever seen.
Yeah. One of the things too that I loved about that show was just like the one restaurant that they send the cousin to, the guy where all black.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yeah.
Like how, like just
French Laundry.
Yeah. Perfect in every aspect of every little thing like that. It's just incredible.
Yeah. I think that restaurant's called the French Laundry, and that's a real restaurant in LA. It's like one of the highest rated, you know, restaurants,
Michelin stars.
Yeah.
That would probably be mine.
Or, you know, I guess this could kind of add to the storytelling thing, but just like the ability to recall, you know, just like have that, like almost like photographic memory where you could like, just like read something and be able to fucking recite it like word for word. Like that would be a really, really cool skill. You know, I feel like that could be useful in fucking everything.
Right.
You know, just being able to just remember and like rifle it off, you know, that'd be really cool.
Yeah.
All right. Our next one here. What's a TV show you think everyone should watch at least once?
I mean, I just said it, The Bear.
The Bear. Yeah, that's a good one.
Get an idea of what the hell's all going on behind the scenes at where you're eating and getting and like, hey, that's one.
Trying to think of some of my favorite shows of all time, and I'm like, you know, it's like, is that one everybody needs to watch?
That's the same.
I don't know. Like, I mean, I immediately go like Breaking Bad, Dexter, Game of Thrones. Mm-hmm. Like, those are some of my like favorite shows. But I'm like, hey, is that like one I think everybody needs to watch? Like, I think The Bear is a great example, just because like it makes you realize kind of what's going on behind those two double doors,
right?
Because people eat out in restaurants every day, and you know, that's not something that. Yeah, I mean, it's not like I need to learn how to cook meth or anything from Breaking Bad or anything like that. Yeah. I mean, Breaking Bad is a great show. That's one I'd love to rewatch.
Yeah.
You seen it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's been years.
I tried watching Better Call Saul, but I've heard it gets voted better than Breaking Bad, but I've gotten into the first season and I'm watching. I'm just like, I haven't been able to get into it just yet.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Maybe I just got to keep trudging through and it gets better and better as it goes, but yeah, I don't know.
All right. What's the most ridiculous conspiracy theory you've ever heard, Pat?
Let's see. I'm going to say like either like Tupac's still alive or Michael Jackson's still alive.
I think that's pretty ridiculous. And
Elvis, everybody, like they're all any like these famous people that have died that they're like, oh, he's still alive.
Yeah. He's just hiding in Africa. Yeah. Like, remember like, well, like the one that like, you heard like Dave Chappelle, like people thought that he died or something, but then
really,
yeah, because remember he kind of like fell off the map after Chappelle show,
yeah.
But he just took a hiatus. Everybody, like some people thought he died.
Honestly, I think that probably made him that like that much more valuable. Like taking that time just to, I mean, he turned down all this money because he didn't like.
Comedy Central tried to like
filter it
and like change it. And,
I mean,
like,
shit, the stuff that he came up with.
Oh my God. Like, it's like one of the best shows of all time.
Ever.
Fuck, there's my one. Yeah. There's my show everybody should watch. Go watch the two seasons of Chappelle's show.
Chappelle show.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause I mean, he covered so many taboo topics in a way that made it kind of lighthearted and brought comedy to it.
Oh, Clayton Bigsby. Yeah. It's like one of the best characters of all time. the blind black supremacist. He doesn't know he's black. Like that's the funniest like concept for
Oh my god!
It's like one of the funniest like concepts for a sketch of all time.
Yeah, and, but yeah, I mean, just the way he handled all of that, I got a lot of respect for him because of that. And I mean, he's just like, and then the way his comedy's kind of shifted from there to where he's at now is he's incredible.
He's, I mean, he's the GOAT. He's the GOAT. Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I mean, if you talk to, you know, I've listened to enough, you know, headline stand-up comedians on podcasts that all, you know, kind of say he's the GOAT. Yeah. And, I mean, can't argue with that.
Yeah. Him and Eddie Murphy and Eddie Murphy's thrown around a lot. Richard Pryor.
Mm-hmm.
George.
Carlin.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Yeah, that's a good one.
What about you?
We were talking about this before the episode. So, the most ridiculous one, and I think it's just a super fun one, is the, I believe it's called the Anunnaki. And the whole concept is that humans are, genetically engineered by aliens. Aliens came down here and genetically modified primates and to, you know, change our DNA to kind of make us what we are today to mine gold for them. And, you know, if you think about gold, you know, it's always been seen as a valuable resource, you know, for thousands of years. And it's like, why is this metal like so coveted and why does everybody want it? And like, can't really explain it. Yeah. It's like a pretty color, but like it doesn't have like, and it has really strange properties. Like, you know, if you take a, you know, small, like, you know, tiny little nugget of gold, it can be essentially melted down and like it could cover this whole table. And, you know, but like if you hear things that are gold plated, that's what that is. It's like just so thin that it's, you know, not enough gold to be actually valuable, but it is gold plated. And, but the whole idea is that, these aliens genetically modified humans to mine gold for them and they're going to come back and get it eventually. So, but dude, there's really like not that much gold in the world. Like from what I've heard that there is like, if you took all the gold in the world, it would not even cover a football field.
Really?
Yeah. Like there's really not that much of it.
Well, I mean,
I could be wrong.
Thinned
about
it
that.
All out. Yeah. Could, but
I mean, but like if you,
well, I mean, you got, I mean, isn't the government, is there, the U.S. government, isn't that the number one holder of gold in the world? Like, don't they have a whole vault that's just full of...
I don't know. Let's ask ChatGPT.
Yeah.
Who has... What should I ask?
Gold reserve.
Who has the largest gold reserve in the world? Let's see here. United States, holding approximately 8,100 metric tons of gold. And this accounts for 78% of the U.S. is foreign total foreign reserves stored primarily at Fort Knox. So yeah, you're right, man. 78% of the world's gold is stored in Fort Knox.
Wow.
Fort Knox. That is crazy. Germany coming in second with 3,300 metric tons, then Italy with 2,400 metric tons, France 2,400, Russia 2,300. That's crazy.
That's nuts.
But it's really like, I mean, it's not that much if you really like, you know, so in total we're at what here? 1,100, 1,300, 1,500, 1,700 metric tons roughly, maybe 1,800 when I'm rounding up with all the remainder. So it's like 1,800 metric tons of gold, which, I mean, it sounds like a lot, but like if you think of the whole world,
right,
it's not that much.
No.
Crazy.
Better than that.
But yeah, so maybe the Anunnaki are going to come down here and take all our gold.
And that's the thing, like silver has become real popular lately too.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, that's something I don't have, like I don't have any precious metals personally. Nope. Like I don't have any gold. I don't own one thing that's gold. Like the wedding ring. Like I mean, I wear this rubber one all the time. Like I don't even have like even my real one costs like $80. Yeah. Like, it was not like a pricey one. Like I never even wear it.
When I was married, I got my ring and the only time I wore it was when I tried it on at the jewelry store.
Really?
Yeah. I wore rubber rings the rest of the time.
Yeah.
I heard that, well, the Jimmy Fallon thing, how he he got his finger caught on something. And
degloved. Yeah. We were literally talking about that at jiu-jitsu like on Monday because, you know, one of the guys there is a paramedic and he was saying, oh, I've seen many fingers be degloved from rings.
He's like,
I've seen it. I can't even count how many times. I've seen it so many times.
God, that sounds
fucking crazy. It just makes my skin crawl.
Could you imagine
just having the skin completely
ripped off?
Yeah, and then Trevor got. Then he was saying, he's like, I was rolling with one guy once who had a shark tooth necklace on, which is like,
why, what, you know? What?
Yeah. He was like,
what were you, what would you,
the people that wear jewelry while they train jiu-jitsu is it, I don't get that. It's like, dude, just take it off.
Yeah.
Like you, I mean, if, cause I'm not going to feel bad about breaking this cause this is 100% on you. Yeah. If all of a sudden, you know, I go to reach for your collar or something and I yank your chain you're yeah. wearing, I'm like, dude.
Well, fuck, you're wearing a shark tooth. You're going to go to jiu-jitsu. You're going to come out looking like you just got attacked by fucking Jaws.
But yeah, well, bro, the ground is his ocean. So.
Oh my gosh. I mean, good for you for having that confidence.
But, yeah. Especially when, yeah, you shouldn't have that confidence. Even no. if you're good, like, right. don't wear jewelry and especially not something that could puncture your fucking neck.
Right.
Like, dude,
that's you hit a fucking artery. Like,
yeah. You just die in a Monday morning jiu-jitsu yeah. class because you're well,
cause of death, yeah. shark bite.
Yeah. And it's like,
yeah. but he was at jiu-jitsu. Yeah, exactly.
Right. Well, I mean, I can't imagine there should be, I mean, all the liability there should be on that guy, you know, like if he really did die.
Well, I mean, I think all the liability is on us anyway, but just, I think we have to sign a waiver for all yeah. that stuff. So that's definitely, I mean, I would feel terrible if.
Oh yeah. If I killed somebody. Yeah. but I'm like.
But at the same time, I'd be like, well.
I mean, he's wearing a,
you know,
shouldn't have been wearing it. Yeah. shouldn't have been standing there.
Is it Darwinism? I mean. Yeah.
Survival of the fittest or the smartest.
the
yeah.
smartest, yeah.
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 Should have been standing there.
Natural selection. Hey, yeah. You know, fuck. But.
Actually, I got one more.
Okay.
What is the weirdest place you've ever changed a diaper?
Weirdest place I've ever changed a diaper.
This was a question I got. And I'm like, oh, I don't even know, man. I mean, I haven't really done it in that many weird places.
Yeah.
You know, just like
maybe like the zoo.
The zoo, yeah, yeah. I've done it at the zoo.
Yeah.
You know, I've done it on the back, the tailgate of my truck many times. I've, you know.
Yeah, it's Forest Park. There's bathrooms everywhere. For
yeah, it's like, I feel like it's never that hard. Yeah. Like, I've never struggled in finding a place.
Right, I've never, yeah. And if not, you just go to your fucking car.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, travel-wise, did we ever go anywhere traveling? The beach? I think we changed a couple diapers at the beach before. That's tricky.
Yeah.
Yeah, sand.
Sand, yeah.
Yeah, you never want to...
Yeah, I guess I've changed a diaper at the beach before, but yeah, it was just like on a blanket, you know, and trying to keep the sand away from them. But I mean, you can only do so much there.
Right. It's not like you're going to fucking weird and crazy places with a baby that can shit himself. You know, you're going to do things, but it's not like you're going to put yourself in strange situations.
Yeah.
Places.
Ooh, I got another one. Or maybe this isn't really a question, but this is just like a topic that Gina and I were talking about last night, and it got me really thinking. And I'm like, ah, fuck, it's a weird one. What are your thoughts on your kids and sleepovers? Because that was something I did a ton as a kid. Yeah. I always slept at my friends' houses. But like Gina and her friend were talking about how they believe that that is going to go away with like our generation because of like... you know, all the fucking creepers out there and like, just like how she's like, you know, you always hear all these stories of these things that happen at sleepovers. And I'm like, well, you think about like all the, I had some of like my best memories yeah. are like from sleepovers. I used to sleep over at my friend's houses like every weekend.
Yeah.
And she's saying how like that might be something that like goes away with, and I'm like, I don't know.
I don't either. Especially like if you know the parents and you know the kid and yeah. things like that, like sure, people can hide certain things, but at the same time, like, I'm hoping that I'm instilling the right, like my kids trust me enough to be like, Hey,
this happened or this is, or, you know,
right. Or like you always hear those Kevin keywords or something like that, where it's like, you know, all you gotta do is like send a text saying like your keyword. And then I'm calling and be like, hey, you need to get home right now. You didn't do so. And so, your kid doesn't feel awkward. Like leaving or trying, like if they don't feel comfortable in a situation, you know, you can have that keyword. I forget what the video that I saw of it was that made me going to start implementing this, but the kid just sent his mom a text with the word, and then the mom called the house or called his phone, was like, you, all right, I'm coming to pick you up. You're in trouble, blah, blah, blah. So the kid didn't feel like, oh, hey, I'm ditching out on these, you know, or make it awkward. Like, hey, I'm going to leave, but like did it in an incognito way. And that's also, that's something that I'll like, I want to make sure that my kids know, like, hey, if there's ever, if you're ever in a situation that you're uncomfortable with, like, just let me know and I'll
be over there.
Yeah, I'll be there and make it to where it's not awkward for you or anything like that, but you know,
make it on me or whatever.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but then I want you to tell me why you felt like it was fucking awkward, because if it has something to do with the parents,
right, I'm going to be getting involved.
There's going to be something different happening.
Sure.
Yeah. I mean, like, yeah, I mean,
yeah, we were just talking about that last night. I was like, fuck, that's like a, I've never, like, that's like not even been on my radar.
Like that fucking UFC guy that just got sentenced to 5 years.
Yeah. Cain Velasquez. Yeah, that's awful, man. Oh, I mean, man. He, you know, should he have probably
handled it better,
handled it a little bit differently, because he didn't even, like, the guy he ended up shooting was not even the guy that was responsible,
really,
supposedly. So, like, at least from my understanding, it was like a car chase situation. And like he was like,
I think
shooting
at them, he shot at him and then he hit some, like, a bystander, I think, or
I think it was like the guy
in the car with the guy.
Yeah, I mean, but like, man. Like, and then apparently the guy didn't die or anything either, which is
good. Right.
But also, like, you know, I mean, he did what every parent says that they would do in that situation, that his, you know, his daughter got abused by some guy and he went after him.
Yeah.
And it's like, you went against,
picked the wrong guy.
You picked the wrong guy. One of the greatest heavyweights of all time in the UFC. And like,
yeah, he's going to be just fine in prison.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He's going to be all right. Yeah,
he's going to be all right.
Especially for why he's there.
Yeah. Everybody's going to see him as a hero for sure.
And then not to mention the fact that he's massive and knows how to hurt people already. Like, yeah, he's going to have an easy 5 years in prison. And it's probably going to be way shorter than that, but
yeah, we hope so.
You know, but I mean, no, I mean, someone wants to hurt my kid, they're going to get hurt.
For sure. For sure.
So.
All right,
that's why
buddy.
We teach them jujitsu so that they can defend themselves.
Exactly.
So.
All right, man. Well, I think that's all we got for today. And thank you guys so much for tuning into the show. You know, if you haven't clicked that subscribe button yet for us, please do so. That would help us out a ton. Hit that like button as well. Comment what you thought below. And we will see you next time.